You scroll down to bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, the question is today, America without churches? Is that where we're headed? Is that what the Islamic jihadists are really behind the scenes pushing for? Is that what Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota, really wants? Is that what Little Fry, the mayor of Minneapolis, is that what he's after? Is it what Keith Ellison is wanting, the attorney general for the state of Minnesota? Ladies and gentlemen, the attorney general of the state of Minnesota said he's not prosecuting anybody. In fact, I find it almost not just sad, but almost laughable with his position and what he's taking and the position that he's taking. In fact, he made the statement that Christian churches in the future, I'm paraphrasing, Christian churches in the future will just have to become accustomed to occasional disruptions because of their stand and what they're not doing. Ladies and gentlemen, I say that we need to encourage the leadership in D.C., including our president, and all that's in his orbit, including our legislators, the representatives and senators, to encourage President Trump to immediately institute the Insurrection Act and go in and pluck these dudes up, if I can use that term, and try them and put them behind bars. If we don't see immediate justice, if we don't see immediate response from the Christians and from the conservatives in our nation, if we don't see that, we're witnessing a rapid decay of the liberties and the freedoms that we have as Christians and as churches. I believe Derby's on the line. Derby, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, concerning the incident at the church in Minnesota, Attorney General Bondi and the assistant or deputy Attorney General Harmeet Dillon say they will do an investigation or have already started an investigation. And I say to them, are you stupid or what? There is no need for an investigation. There is plenty of proof evidence on video already, so there's nothing to investigate. So you arrest them, put them in jail without bond, and then you can investigate more. But there's plenty of proof to act. And that is the problem with Republicans. Too many investigations and not enough acts or acting or arresting people.
Derby, you're exactly right. In fact, Don Lemon, the elite sodomite from former CNN network, Don Lemon has already bragged to at least three people that he now is feigning that he was there as a journalist, as a reporter, and he knows that is not so, but is using that as cover to try to plead innocent of any part of it. But the thing that is even more sad than that is to find a person that's supposed to be enforcing the law in Minnesota, refusing to. I'm looking at a headline. Minnesota Attorney General announces he's against enforcing any law, state or federal, in Minnesota. End quote. for being, this article reads, for being his state's top law enforcement official, Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison has adopted some positions that can only be considered radical. He will not enforce the state's own laws and will not enforce any of the federal government's laws that needs to be enforced. His decision to stray into an agenda that can only be described as protecting crime comes amid an attack by radical leftists, including personality Don Lemon, who barged into a Christian church over the weekend, violated the Constitution, the congregation's civil rights by disrupting the worship, and made a stunt of the entire episode. Ellison is, of course, responsible for enforcing the laws and would include those against trespass and disorderly conduct. Here's the key. But he will not do it. He has made it clear that Christians in his state will just have to put up with such ambushes on occasion. He conceded their protections for religious worship. There are also protections for free speech. And he said no one is immune from the voice of the public, whether it's church or not. And he goes on to talk about, he says, chanting can never be the basis for a criminal act. If you're trespassing in order to chant, it's absolutely, you absolutely can. He rightly mentions that the KKK Act penalizes people for violating civil rights, but doesn't acknowledge that interrupting a church service would be considered a violation of anyone's civil rights. He most egregiously then suggested that the FACE Act, which specifically means protecting houses of worship alongside clinics, cannot be used to protect churches from harassment and obstruction. And he goes on, Jonathan Turley points out that Ellison, a Muslim leftist, not only is refusing to enforce the law, but he is demanding that the federal government not enforce its laws either. One would think that a mob action against a church would be something that would be would transcend any political divisions, as grotesque and chilling act as it is. If you thought that, you do not know Keith Ellison. Turley wrote, he is just a dope. Any quote. Anyway, so much for that. Derby, I find it egregious when we have those that are in law enforcement position that refuse to enforce the law. Now, it's my opinion that there should be some way the man could be removed. I've researched and found that because he is a state attorney general and not a federal attorney general, that the president cannot remove him from office. Now, I don't know if there's any, subpoints that any other issues that surround that would allow him to, but I find it egregious when you have an individual like Keith Ellison. He is the one, by the way, that helped give, I believe it was like $27 million to George Floyd's family on the pretense that Floyd was murdered by a police officer, and he was not. But $27 million given to that family. It was approved by Keith Ellison and the governor of Minnesota and the Minneapolis Little Fry mayor in the city. That the three of them together made the decision, and $27 million was shelled out of taxpayer money even before any trial or any real investigation was done about the death of George Floyd. And I don't know but what they shared the profits from that $27 million. Don't know how much of that actually went to the Floyd family, but nevertheless, that's the same thugs that's in charge today. What say you?
So I think Ellison should not be removed. He should be arrested.
Yes.
Which is the same thing. And he already said, I will not enforce the law. That is reason enough to arrest him. And the evidence is there. He said it. So there's no need to investigate Ellison either. I am so tired of Republicans investigating, and nobody gets arrested. We should have arrested Biden and Bush and Clinton and everybody already. They should be in jail. And then you could investigate some more.
Absolutely. Here's something that's a footnote to this that I'll touch on just to get your thoughts on it, Derby. Headline, two top Trump officials say arrests are coming for the anti-ICE invasion of a church. What about Don Lemon? Question mark. Now, here's the point. The Trump administration has launched an investigation into the anti-ICE activists who invaded a church worship service in St. Paul, Minnesota, shouting, intimidating, and terrorizing churchgoers. Now, a top DOJ official and the head of Homeland Security are both confirming there will be charges in the case. Now, here's the problem. The Department of Justice Assistant Attorney General for Civil Rights, Harmeet Dhillon, announced during an interview with Glenn Beck that the church disputers will face charges and arrest. The Secretary of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem, said that arrests are coming this weekend on ICE. The mob targeted a church, etc., etc., etc. Here's the problem with this, though. They told them that Don Lemon himself has come out and said that he knew exactly what he was doing. Here's the problem that they say. They cannot find... Listen. The difficult part is, and the delay of arresting them has been the finding of a federal judge in Minnesota who is willing to sign off on an arrest warrant. Now, Attorney General Keith Ellison is in control of his federal judges. And apparently the word's gone out, don't sign an arrest warrant. So here's my question. Maybe somebody in the listening audience has constitutional liberties to call in and vent and or ask the question or answer the question. Derby, if you can't get a judge to sign the warrant, how do you arrest them?
Well, get Bundy to sign the warrant.
I think that would That would be the top answer, but I think this is a good indication of what we're witnessing as nothing less than anarchy, nothing less than insurrection. When a state attorney general does that, and the judges do that in any state, that is proof positive of insurrection. And the Supremacy Clause of the United States government says that the federal government has authority when it comes to issues like that. And I believe that authority needs to be instituted and carried out at this moment. I believe that another sundown without their arrest is another indication of a lack of the recognition of the laws that we need to carry out to enforce to protect the civil rights, the liberties, religious liberties, and the freedom of speech that we have in America. Derby, it demands our attention, it demands our prayer, demands our recognition, and that's one of the reasons that I will do a little footnote on that. That's the reason as Christians we need to stop sitting, we need to stop staying out of church, we need to start being in church, being salt and light, pleading with God, asking God to intervene and protect our nation, protect our liberties, protect our Bill of Rights, protect our freedom of speech, that the churches might continue to flourish in our nation and not close as we're witnessing them closing across America. This will, in my opinion, expedite the absolute closure of a large portion of our churches in America. If this is the potentiality, can you think, Derby, of the number of people in that service that day that may never go back to church, that will be petrified to even think about going back to church, will not go back to that church and maybe other churches, and how that will quell the zest and the zeal and the desire to go to church in fear of what could happen? I know people today that stop going to church because of a fear of what might happen with a sign, because the sign happened to read at that occasion asking the question, are Democrats true Americans? And as a result of that, the flurry that took place right here in the city of Jacksonville that petrified some people about going to church. We need to praise God for churches and pastors and Christians that will take a stand and speak the truth without fear and without favor. I believe it's time churches stand up, Christians stand up, Christians voice praise for the Lord Jesus Christ without fear and intimidation of the loose-likes, lost liberals, and the lost judges, and the Islamic jihadists that's coming in to control our nation. Derby, demands our prayer, and thank you, brother, for your call. God bless you as we keep looking up. I believe Lily's on the line. Lily, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, good day, Dr. Youngblood. Thank you very much. Oh, praise God, you are on it as usual. I am very concerned about where we have reached, where we are today. But we know, we are confident, we know who we are serving, and we know our God, that he's in charge. I am thinking that the center of demonic activities, whether it is in Silicon Valley, Hollywood, wherever, and their goal has been to crush America, and they have come a far way in their achievement, in that especially they have taken over the hearts and minds of our children by controlling the educational institutions. So they have come a far way. And the pushback today under Donald Trump is making them furious and desperate. And we've seen it showing up on all sides, that like attacking the church and, becoming like losing Minneapolis is like not a part of the United States. And we see this loyalty or abandoning the Constitution. So my concern is really Donald Trump. He is doing what he's able to do and fighting a serious battle. All of what is going on with him is because he has taken it up to see if he can rescue the United States from where it's going. The plan is to crush it so that there are other demonic activities of the future can begin to take place. The one world government and lack of freedom, like in the communist blocs and Islam, all of the forces of hell, demonic activity. So just as you have been emphasizing, believers, we need to be praying. We need to be praying for Donald Trump because it's hard.
Lily, you're exactly right about our prayers for Donald Trump. In fact, as I watched a lot of his speech this morning, it was actually afternoon in Switzerland as he was speaking, but the crowd that he had there, based on his words, there's probably about 1,000 people there that he's speaking to, and as he was speaking, he was condemning Europe, he was condemning NATO, he was condemning those that stand against America, and he was doing so right to their face. I found it fascinating that he was bold enough and brazen enough, if you please, with the spine enough to stand up and speak the truth even before many of those that were his enemies. And one was the head of France, Macron, and he talked about him and how he had watched him speak yesterday with his beautiful shade glasses on, etc., etc. And he named some of those without calling the name. He talked about some of those that he had dealt with and talked about what he was going to do and the tariffs that he was going to institute if they didn't. And I told my bride as I watched that, I said, do you realize he's speaking the truth and is accusing them, rightly so, of what they've not done, what they should do, what he's done, and he's doing. I said, I bet they're sitting there squirming. God, please don't let him call my name. God, please don't let him call my name. But I was thankful for his speech, because just the last time Joe Biden spoke to that group, he talked about the need for America to help them with the transgenderism across the world. He talked with them about how America needs to help fund more abortion for these other nations to help them murder babies. He talked about the Green New Deal. He talked about all of these things, about the coming devastation to the world if we didn't put money into funds, et cetera, to control the climate change in America and around the world, et cetera, et cetera. A totally different speech from Donald J. Trump, one that put the spotlight on where the issues are and what America needs to do to lead the world in what we're doing, that I believe honors God in the whole of what he said. So I'm thankful for that. We need to keep praying, as you said, for Donald J. Trump, that God will continue to protect him, preserve him, and use him to do what I believe God is doing. In part, I believe God is partially judging America. In part, I believe God is giving us a respite from the decline and the destruction of the Constitution in America and our liberties of speech and worship that we still maintain in America. I am thankful for that. So you're right, Lily. I believe we need to keep praying for him. Thank you so much, Nicole, and God bless you as we keep looking up today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject that I believe many may not recognize, but America without churches? Love to hear from you. What would America, in your opinion, what would America be like if we didn't have a church? I'm not talking about denominationalism. I'm talking about churches, a place where you can go and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the reason I find it egregious when we recognize the apostasy, the falling away, where those that claim to be Christians, those that claim to be believers, those that claim to have a relationship to God through Jesus Christ, are sitting on the couch, sitting on the side of the bed, sipping the Bud Dumb or a Miller Lowlife, and claim they're worshiping. Ladies and gentlemen, worship is when you're before the throne of God and you are placing worth on Him that saved us, worth on Him that created us. It is worship. And you, according to the Scripture, you cannot worship appropriately unless we're together in a local New Testament church. And some might disagree with that. That's fine. I happen to believe what the Bible says, and I believe God has given us corporate worship, and I believe the Bible directs us to have corporate worship. So I believe this is the reason we need to get back into the churches. We need to get back on our knees. We need to get back before God. We need to get back in the Word of God and ask God to preserve our nation. And we need to ask God to heal our land, ask God to forgive our sins, and seek God's pleasure in what we do as a nation. That's what it talks about in 2 Chronicles 7:14, of seeking God's face. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article that speaks bold volumes, and this is what I've harped on now for days. Peaceful protesting? CNN talker uses infamous phrase as footage of Minneapolis violence plays. CNN Newsnight host Abby Phillips allowed a former Biden administration official to claim the riots in Minneapolis were peaceful protest. This article reads further. Former Biden White House aide claimed that the response to the streets of Minneapolis were peaceful, despite Minneapolis Police Chief Brian O'Hara saying crowds were engaged in unlawful acts, end quote. Further, the article reads, "It looks like insurrection to me." Seattle area talk radio show Jason Rantz told reporters, "I'm answering the question here. You don't think they're showing up because they want to do damage, do you?" And that's exactly what they're doing, ladies and gentlemen. It is the pillaging, it is the burning, it is the rant. In fact, it is the same group that's being hired today to do the demonstrations and the damage and the rioting as were hired during the George Floyd aftermath that tried to burn America down. But ladies and gentlemen, all in all, we need to recognize, and I say again, it's redundant, but we need to pray that God will motivate President Donald J. Trump to institute the Insurrection Act and put things in order before it gets any further out of order. Look at the headline. Could be prosecuted. Greg Jarrett calls Don Lemon a dope who doesn't know most important part about right to protest. He joined in the betting and the anti-ICE agitators, knowing full well that they intended to commit crimes by going into the church. Fox News analyst Greg Jarrett said Monday that former CNN host Don Lemon has no grasp on the most basic limits of the First Amendment rights. Lemon defended his left-wing activists who forced their way into an evangelical church service on Sunday after they accused the pastor of having ties with the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, known. Jarrett said, "The bottom line, that Lemon misunderstood the limits of the First Amendment, arguing that the rights to protest does not permit activists to enter any private property or disrupt any church service, even if a journalist records the confrontation." There's Don Lemon, you know, recording it all happily, claiming that everybody has a right to do this. No, they do not, Greg Jarrett said. It is illegal. It is unconstitutional. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a sheaf of research documents that's before me that says exactly that, but in more, how would you say, precise terms. Here's one. Under 18 U.S.C. 248, the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act, called FACE Act. Despite the name, this law explicitly protects religious worship, not just clinics. It is illegal under federal law. I'm reading from 18 U.S.C. 248. It is illegal under federal law to use force, threats, force or physical obstruction or intimidation to stop a worship service, to intentionally interfere with someone worshiping, attending a religious service, exercising their religious freedom at a church or synagogue. It includes blocking entrances, threatening worshipers, physically intimidating clergy or congregants, coordinating disruptions meant to stop the worship. Federal crime this nature is up to 1 year in prison, civil lawsuits by the church or individuals against the Homeland Security, et cetera, Department of Justice, if it is not enforced and carried out. Intentional damage, defacement, or destruction of the churches or religious buildings. Ladies and gentlemen, this article goes on to say, and again, it's talking about the FACE Act, 18 U.S.C. 248, and it is very clear What the federal law does not allow is peaceful protest. Peaceful protest, ladies and gentlemen, that is at the church. You can say, okay, I'm just going to peaceful protest. That's the case. Most do not realize church property is private property. And private property, though the church doors are open, saying come worship with us, does not make the church property anything that is called public property. It's still private. So if a person wants to do any demonstration, they better keep their shoe leather on the sidewalk and not put one foot on the grass, even outside the church or near the church, inside the church. This is the reason I say, as I've said before on this broadcast, every church needs to have an alert team of men that's well able to prevent invaders, thugs, to come in and disrupt the service. If they even approach on the church property, law enforcement needs to be called to remove them post haste. They need to, in fact, I recommend that every church, when services start, lock the doors. When services are over, unlock the doors, that where the doors can still be pushed open from the inside in case of an emergency, et cetera, not locking people in for damage. But, ladies and gentlemen, there needs to be secure things done to protect the churches, because as I see it, we're going to witness across America, in my opinion, some of those that would be copycatters wanting to do what these thugs being led by Don Lemon has done. Even in Minnesota, ladies and gentlemen, state statute 609.28, interfering with religious observances, intentionally preventing religious acts as a misdemeanor. Physical interference is a gross misdemeanor, and the definition of that is very clear under the law. But in the state of Minnesota, the Islamic jihadist, that is the one that is in charge, the one that has the responsibility, Keith Ellison, of enforcing the law, has said he's not enforcing any law, state or federal. This is the reason, and I go back to harping on the fine point, that there needs to be the Insurrection Act that needs to be instituted to stop the anarchy, to stop the insurrection before it spreads further. And by the way, going back to that, in the state of Florida, the law in the state of Florida, state statute 871.01, it makes the church the same as your home, which is the castle act, which is your castle that you cannot allow someone to come in, harm, hurt, or kill. It is the castle doctrine. The law reads as this: there's a specific criminal statute protecting the that applies when someone intentionally disrupts a lawful assembly, including religious services such as worship services. These laws are designed to protect people attending religious services from willful disturbances or harassment from the outside. And it goes on to talk about anybody that willfully or maliciously interrupts a worship service, people meeting for church, can be prosecuted on a first-degree misdemeanor, first-degree, etc., etc. Ladies and gentlemen, my point today, may I repeat it, restate it as we close, is that we need to be aware of the fact that if this continues as it's going now, that we will lose our right of religious liberty and freedom of speech. Our churches will be hastened in the closing. So you might say, what do we do? If you're saved, you need to be involved in church. You need to be submitted, surrendered, committed to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, actively involved, asking God to preserve our church, preserve our nation, preserve our liberties. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Look forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships.